This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I have a thought that's probably dumb, but it's not definitely dumb, so I'm going to say it.
And the Bulldog.
Alan Hearns. Get out!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Maybe that thought that day was never cut Alan Hearns. Whatever you do, don't cut. This is probably dumb, but not for sure. But I really have no idea. Could have been a lot of things. Joining us now on the Western Hotline, Ryan Lambert of Yahoo at Two Line Pass. Ryan, I read you this morning, got to work, and saw that Joe had booked you today. What a coincidence, a good one. We're glad to have you on as always.
Thanks for having me.
Today's article was about the market for defensemen, namely P.K. Subban and Tyler Myers. We've been talking about Rasmus Ristolainen a lot, I mean, for years, but also a lot in the last few days. If you would, Ryan, for our audience, just like sort of summarize it for us. What do you see that's troubling and also maybe not surprising?
Well, it's mainly that the rumors right now are that Tyler Myers is going to sign for something like $7-8 million a year for 7 years. And he is not that good at all. He's maybe a fifth or sixth defenseman for most teams in the league. But I mean, you guys saw him in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, he had those two good seasons, like a decade ago. And now, you know, we're never going to be rid of him. And meanwhile, you know, the Nashville Predators were so desperate to get out from under P.K. Subban's $9 million for three more years that they basically gave him away for next to nothing. Two second-round picks, a borderline NHL defenseman, and maybe a B-plus prospect. So, you know, I look at it and I go, well, the valuation on Subban is $9 million. The valuation on Tyler Myers is something like $7.5-$8 million. And one team, there's going to be a line of teams trying to sign Tyler Myers, who is, I think, 9 months younger than P.K. Subban, maybe not even. And you know, the market for P.K. Subban, who, you know, pretty recently was an NHL All-Star, it was borderline non-existent.
Yeah. Is there some fear, maybe? The Predators, I think, are driven by cap space and wanting to bolster their forward ranks. So from their end, I get it. And I haven't thought too much about how much better they could have done in the trade. But would you think that maybe other suitors besides the Devils were scared of the year that Subban had this year because there was only 60 games and it's 30 points? And you know, that's for $9 million, that's not a lot.
Right. I mean, the argument is that obviously Subban, you know, his skating has really kind of deteriorated over the last year. And like you said, injury concerns, and he's over 30 now. And like, yeah, that all makes perfect sense. But basically what the Devils did was bet four future pieces that don't really matter much to them, honestly, that P.K. Subban is going to turn, like, he doesn't have to be 26-year-old P.K. Subban again to get value out of that deal. And the bet, I guess, is that he'll turn into a guy who can at the very least score on the power play, which the Devils, you know, don't have anybody who can do that, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those things where they're just making a bet that he's not going to be absolutely terrible. Versus, you know, right. Tyler Myers, we have pretty good evidence that he's just bad. at this point.
Right, whereas with Subban, you've got 1 year of maybe questionable production.
Correct.
And, you know, is that a trend or is that an aberration? Yeah, the Myers part of it is way more of a curiosity to me. Because, like, yeah. Nashville, again, from their perspective, they've got Yossi and they've got Ryan Ellis and whatever. Like, they're not that they wouldn't miss a great P.K. Subban or even a very good P.K. Subban, but, you know, that's how teams, you know, move around and manage their rosters and their caps. Myers getting that kind of money on the open market when he's been relegated to, you know, less than 20 or right around 20 minutes a night, and I don't get it.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing, too, is, you know, it's not just those two guys. Those were just kind of my examples for why the market is not efficient, let's say. Other guys, Jake Gardner is probably going to get similar money to Tyler Myers. He is a much better defenseman. And I think he's a year or two younger at least, too. So there's that to consider. And then, you can look at what the Flyers gave up for Justin Braun, who's bad at this point. You can look at what they gave up. Well, I mean, they gave up a good defenseman for a bad defenseman in Matt Niskanen because, again, both Niskanen and Braun are just guys that are, like, quote-unquote shutdown guys like Tyler Myers. And the fact that, you know, in 2019, NHL GMs still think that shutdown guys are as valuable as guys who are, you know, point-producing defensemen, I don't understand it, but okay.
Yeah, and with Ryan Lambert of Yahoo, what is the bigger picture here? What is the bigger point? Like, what is the summary to explain where we're at in hockey? Like, I guess Erik Karlsson, there was a time not too many years ago, Ryan, when I was starting to learn about different statistics and quickly appreciated what Karlsson's real value was. As I saw it, it was all starting to sort of blossom, this community of people who are advertising for that and discussing that. And, like, I want to think that someday that will take hold, you know, that, you know, I might have thought a few years ago, but soon everybody's going to appreciate this. And some people started to sound like it, others didn't. Where are we at on this?
Yeah, so I mean, like, there are obviously, like, smart teams in the NHL, right? San Jose getting Erik Karlsson, like, because they felt like they were an Erik Karlsson away from being cup competitive. You know, that makes sense. Somebody's going to be pretty smart if they sign Tyler Myers to similar money, Jake Gardner to similar money as Tyler Myers, right? Because you're going to get a guy who's actually good for the same money as a guy who is not good. And for me, it boils down to, you know, a lot of these decisions in this sport are being made by, like, 50-plus-year-old guys who they haven't really gone out of their way to learn much more about the game than they knew 10 years ago, let's say. And, you know, Jim Benning is a guy who, he signed the Erik Branson deal that now, you know, Pittsburgh's like, oh, why are we stuck with the Erik Branson deal? And that kind of thing. Like, he's a guy who just, he doesn't make good decisions, Jim Benning. And at least in the free agent market, he doesn't. And, you know, the Canucks are now considered the front runners for Tyler Myers. And I don't think that's a coincidence. But for me, I think what I would say is shutdown guys are seen as having a certain amount of value. And GMs are willing to pay for that, even though, you know, you can kind of prove guys like Myers and Braun and Niskanen. Like, you can give them the tough assignments, but they're not shutting anybody down with those minutes. So that's really what it is. GMs would rather pay for something they think they can see than something they definitely can see, which is the puck going in the back of the net.
Ryan Lambert of Yahoo is on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. So with all that said, what should the market be if the Sabres are going to try to trade or trade Rasmus Ristolainen? Like, it feels like they should still be able to do pretty well with all of this being taken into consideration, like how these value judgments are made on guys, even what his salary is. Like, he's cost controlled at $5.4 million, which, you know, when you're talking about, like, Tyler Myers at, like, $7.5 million, it's wow. it doesn't look like that bad a deal. So should Jason Botterill be able to do pretty well, you think, in a Ristolainen trade?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what he's – like, you know, you can definitely con somebody to take that contract, right? You can say, oh, you know, you can basically make all the pro-Rasmus Ristolainen arguments the Sabres fans have been making incorrectly for years, right? And there are going to be – let's say even 10 GMs would be like, yeah, no, I agree. Rasmus Ristolainen is a guy who we can win with, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the salary cap's a little lower than everybody thought it was going to be this year, and that might kind of skew things. But, yeah, I mean, you should be able to get something of value back. I don't know that that's necessarily a roster player who's going to chip in, you know, 20 goals on offense or anything like that. Like, I think the days of people going, oh, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for Rasmus Ristolainen, that sounds like a fair trade. I think those days are over. But, like, you can get guys who can play in the NHL for them, and maybe you have to take a bad contract to make the money work or something like that. But, you know, that's just me spitballing.
How many teams out of 31, in your opinion, like, understand this? How many teams are there that, you know, you can name them if you want, but even without doing that, you would avoid, and then... you know, the rest of the teams you think maybe you could prey on?
Yeah, I'd say there are 10 teams where you could pick up the phone and try to rip them off pretty good. I'm not going to like sit here and put together a whole list, but right. Like just again, like Vancouver, it Philadelphia, apparently Chuck Fletcher's more than happy to take your bad contracts if you can, you know, add some jam at the back or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Definitely those GMs still exist, but, you know, they're getting fewer and farther between, and decision-making is getting better. Like, I was surprised last week when the Ducks bought out Corey Perry, just because I figured, you know, they think he has one more or two more years left in him. Turns out they didn't think that, which they were right to do it, but that even, like, 3 years ago, I would have said that's a team that you can very easily rip off, so...
Yeah, and alongside is the idea of paying for past performance, which maybe was another reason to think that wouldn't happen in Anaheim, because he's been an icon there. With Ryan Lambert of Yahoo. So, Ryan, what do you think happens with Mitch Marner?
You know, it's crazy, because now a lot of teams are starting to clear, like, make trades specifically to clear cap space. Like, Carolina made one yesterday where they gave up mm-hmm. Calvin DeHaan, who is a good defenseman. Although he is coming off an injury, and maybe they're concerned that he's not going to be as good as he was. But, like, he can play if he's healthy, and they gave him up for nothing. Basically, the cap space that, you know, he was taking up. And they only really need to re-sign Sebastian Aho, so maybe they're gearing up to take a run at Mitch Marner. Colorado cleared space today. They traded Carl Soderberg for next to nothing, and so maybe they're gearing up. Obviously, the Islanders have a ton of cap space, and Lou Lamoriello would have the familiarity with the player, that kind of thing. I am never in my life going to say that an offer sheet is going to happen or is remotely likely to happen. This is the NHL, but... yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of interest in Marner, because he's unbelievably good. So,
maybe it'll keep going like this with younger players coming in and being elevated into, you know, producing type roles. So guys coming out of entry level deals will be more and more appealing as time goes on. But with this class of guys that is out there, you mentioned Aho and Marner, and Winnipeg's got a couple guys, Colorado's got Rotten. It feels to me like if we're going to get offer sheets ever in our lifetimes, it's got to be now. You know, like,
yeah,
like
you said, there's just so many good players in this RFA class, like Charlie McAvoy in Boston. I mean, they're gonna have space to sign him, but like, if you threw $8 million at him, I don't know. Would Boston match that? They only have like $12 million in cap space, that kind of thing. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to think about. Just the amount of young talent is crazy.
If you ran a team, would you be all about offer sheets, and would you be attacking like this?
I mean, I would be willing to give up four first-round picks for Mitch Marner if I thought we were, you know, like if I, let's say I'm Carolina. I think Carolina might be a Mitch Marner away from being really good, like really, really good. And so, yeah, if I'm Carolina and I'm like, you know what, I'll give up like four, like the 22nd, 26th, 25th pick in the draft every year
right.
for the next 4 years, like that's fine with me. But like, you know, would I be also targeting those kind of middle class RFAs? I don't know. I guess I take it on a case by case basis.
Right. And it also, it does matter, I think, like what you want to pay the player. Like Marner is not a center. And whether it's right to have them valued higher, that's how it works so far in the salary structure in the league. A lot of what the Leafs are up against is that they've got a pair of centers in Tavares and Matthews, and they don't want to pay a winger more than those guys. So do you want a $12 million winger on your team is a good question, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think position matters as much as people kind of think it does. That's just me personally, but that's how I feel about it. And you know, not that I'm saying, you know, you should pay a good defenseman as much as you pay a forward just because, you know, defensemen are, let's say, less likely to produce offense, right? Unless they're Erik Karlsson or something like that. But yeah, I think in general, I wouldn't really have a problem paying a winger, like an elite winger, as much as an elite center.
Do you think the biggest reason we don't have offer sheets, even though they're allowed, is the reason that I think GMs most often give, which is, well, you could get me back, you know, this sort of belief that it's bad for the overall or it could be bad for me. Like, I also think the GMs covet their draft picks. The teams covet yeah. their draft picks. And, you know, at the end of the first round, the hit rate isn't great anyway, but still, like, that's kind of what you're there for. Is there are so few trades, right? Free agency often goes badly. I don't know. Where are you? I would much more expect it from a GM who's been around a long time that's got the security, Ryan, but at the same time, that GM has probably avoided this course of action for many years.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess the thing about getting the revenge offer sheet, like, you're not going to get somebody as good as Mitch Marner off my roster. You know what I mean? Like, there are just very few guys. Like, I would be, I guess, pretty selective about it. Like, Mitch Marner is a guy who is worth it. But I wouldn't do it like the case with Thomas Vanek, however many years ago that was, where it's like, yeah, he's pretty good, but, I mean, he's not, like, differentiating an okay team from a really good one, right? And Mitch Marner, I think, is that kind of talent. And if you want to, if I'm the Islanders, like, and if you want to take a run at one of my RFAs 2-3 years from now, have fun. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're just not developing guys like Mitch Marner because guys like Mitch Marner are extremely rare. And, you know, the thing about teams, like, really coveting their draft, like, obviously, teams, fans, everybody kind of overrates their own prospects just because of the cost control of it, you know? But also, like, you go, oh, who, I don't know, who the Penguins took 21st overall, like, now they're going to try to talk themselves into, you know what, this kid's a future top six winger, that kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't often work out that way. So
the GM, it's also the past, like you're saying, not just future picks, but the GM's name is tied to the, especially if it's a higher pick, the other player. We remember the Vanek developments very well. Of course, Edmonton stayed bad, so those would have been great picks, probably. Vanek likely doesn't change that. And
right.
the Sabres had this, you know, they were a snap call on that because, as they said that day, you can't just come take everything you want out of our
right.
off our shelves.
Right.
But, you know, like Regier drafting Vanek, GMs, when we're doing our job and people are talking about GMs in any sport, it's like, well, who did they draft? You know, and
right.
most fans, I think, still believe that these people should know the future. They should know who's going to be good. And, you know, come on, they really don't that well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, there's always the story of, like, Patrice Bergeron was a second-round pick, right? Like, that kind of thing is very common, and people hold that up as like, well, this is why second-round picks are valuable. But it's, you know, how many second-round picks did the Bruins make between now and then that didn't yeah. turn into anything at all?
Right.
You know? So it's one of those things where, yeah, obviously, like, there, like, these are lottery tickets, and sometimes even on a low chance, like, whatever, Pavel Datsyuk was like a seventh round pick or sixth round pick or something like that, and he's a Hall of Famer, one of the best in the modern era. But also, you know, like, be realistic. Like, what percent chance are you going to get? Let's not even say Pavel Datsyuk, like a borderline NHL player with a seventh round pick. It's pretty rare. So
yeah, that's just true across sports. Even the New England Patriots, even and especially the New England Patriots. Like, you look up their drafts, and well, it speaks for itself. Okay. Ryan, thanks as always for your time. Good job on this piece today. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.